Today's November 10th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $37,403.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How's your Friday going, Rick?
Not too bad. It's a lot better looking at the price of Bitcoin anymore.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think we kind of talked about that the last episode, like that FOMO feeling starting to come back, you know, like I get excited to check the price and it's kind of weird because it's almost like a little bit of a dopamine hit.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. When you look at your holdings, you're like, ooh, look what Bitcoin did today. Oh. And I don't know if we had talked about that on the podcast last time or not, and it may not have happened yet, but I actually talked my wife finally into buying some Bitcoin of her own, and I'm going to teach her to do self-custody and those types of things. And she's like, how do you do this? Like, how have you done this for all these years? Like, when you look at this, it's got to drive you nuts because it's up and down and up and down. I'm like, yeah, but I guess you get used to it.
I don't think you've gotten used to it. You just... That's what you thrive in, is the chaos.
The mess of it all. Well, yeah, and it's when the market starts to flip and you go into, you know, I love the bull markets. I think it's one of those things where it's exciting to be a part of it. You know, and it's unfortunate because so many people that I've talked to, and I think the message gets, the idea to get the message out to people gets stronger and stronger as these types of events happen. You know, whenever Bitcoin's down and people know that you were in Bitcoin previously, they always give you like, well, but yeah, but didn't it crash? And it's like, yeah, but like technically you should be wanting to buy it when it's basically at like a 2-for-1 price.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be wanting to buy it again at 69,000. And you talk about the 4-year cycles and those types of things, and it goes over a lot of people's heads. I don't know if they just don't get it, if they just don't trust it. You know,
well, I think it's a little bit of both. They don't trust it. Granted, I think the past couple of years have shown us that, you know, the purchasing price of the dollar, there's definitely something wrong with it.
Yeah.
And they may not understand fully what's going on, but they might be a little bit more open to something like this going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, something that I think is kind of interesting, too, is like you've heard. You heard Larry Fink talk about Bitcoin as a flight to quality. And somebody else used that the other day. And I'm wondering if that's going to become a slogan for them. Like if it's a marketing type tactic.
I don't know. Now that you mentioned that, it almost sounds like something cooked up in the WEF or some other.
Yeah. Like I wonder if we're going to start seeing that, you know, a lot more. Like if they're going to. Like once this goes live with BlackRock, like if an ETF gets approved, are you going to see like, are the managers of those funds start calling their customers and be like, well, look, it's a flight to quality and like, we can make a move, you know, do you want to purchase now? Or, you know, is it going to be a marketing segment or, you know, a marketing ploy?
Yeah. That does sound like a new slogan.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me wonder if like that's part of their marketing research and that's where they're at. So anyways, we have seen a rise again in Bitcoin since last time we recorded. We actually did kiss 38,000. So that's the new high for the year. And what does that bring our total to from our $3,000 investment?
I don't know. It's 0.0885. I didn't do the math on that one yet.
Let me... So that would be $309. So what, a 10% return right now?
Yeah. In basically 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's not too shabby. $300 for doing nothing but just putting your money where it should go anyways, in my opinion. But that's not financial advice.
Nope.
Anyways, part of the reason why I think we've seen some of this uptick in speculation and some of the FOMO starting to come back is right now, analysts have identified that there's an 8-day window for all 12 spot Bitcoin ETFs to get approved. It looks like the window opened up on the 10th, or actually on the 9th, and it's going to go until the 17th is when this 8-day window is. They think regardless, there's a 90% chance that the spot Bitcoin ETF will be approved by January 10th. I think honestly, you know, kind of talking about this, and we've talked about this ETF before, where if they're going to do it, they need at least, you know, they've got to see them. They got to do all these things. They're not going to be, just as soon as the SEC approves it, they're not going to be able to launch it right away. Like, it's going to take another month or so ahead of that. And to me, it would make sense that they would want to get these ETFs going prior to the halving.
Yes.
So I think, go ahead.
I think another thing it would make sense to do is to, I mean, we know BlackRock is doing this, but starting to procure, these companies wanting to procure some Bitcoin right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I guarantee that they are, right? Like, they've all got to be. So yeah, that'll be kind of interesting to see how that happens. You know, and I think it's causing a lot of people in the market to get really excited again. We've got kind of a perfect storm of stuff taking place. I mean, with the chaos happening in the macro environment, you know, it looks like more than likely at some point we're probably going to see a rate cut sometime maybe in 2024, you know, from the Fed. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but usually, like, whenever there's economic turmoil, what do? They slash it. You know, it's the stairs up and the elevator down.
Right.
And if that's the case, you know, liquidity is going to pour in. You're going to have the ETF, which means that there's going to be a lot of buyers happening. I think the big thing to keep in mind is that when BlackRock's coming for your Bitcoin, like, what level are you going to sell it at, or are you going to sell it all? Because with a limited supply, they are going to come knocking.
That's right. Well, the price will be keep going up. The only thing I can say is it depends on how bad economically things get, how devalued the dollar gets on when certain people have to sell,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we just got a jobs report that came out on the 3rd. And so this was, again, we don't know what to make of the numbers. I mean, it doesn't tell us, you know, is it full-time work or anything like that, but they had speculated that there was going to be 297,000 jobs added in October, but there was only 150,000 jobs that were added in October. So, I mean, they still are trying to say, oh, it was a positive number for job growth. But, I mean, we start to see that the market it's softening for sure. It's been softening for a while, but I think they're trying to cover it up in their numbers still, but we'll see how that plays out. I don't even know how they said they had that many jobs in the previous month, you know?
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about that too, like, you know, the jobs reports from March, you know, they were counting jobs created in the holiday season, and they did not count the temporary ones that went away, and everything gets revised down after the fact. So if it's still below what they were expecting, I mean, how much worse is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. And we won't see what that actual number was until, if ever. Like, I mean, it's going to be way in the rearview mirror before we find out.
Yeah, 6 months from now, we'll go, oh, what was the real November jobs report or October jobs report?
Yeah.
And it's probably going to even be worse.
Yeah, no, and that's, I completely agree. And we also just had a Fed speech from Jerome Powell that came out, and he said that he and his colleagues remain steadfast in getting policy in line with the 2% inflation goal, but they're not confident they've achieved such a stance. So they still don't think they've done enough. I mean, we've talked about that before, where we're looking at probably another interest rate hike before the end of the year. They paused in the beginning of November, end of October. So more than likely we'll see something in December, right? Middle of December.
Maybe. I mean, I think they're kind of I don't know, compared to a groundhog seeing the shadow, but they're a little bit spooked.
Yeah, they've got to be. I mean, but, you know, and we've kind of talked about that before, like they almost want that horrible break to take place to let him turn on the printers.
I wonder. Yeah, I mean, they were talking about a soft landing, you know, and all that stuff. I don't think they really believe in a soft landing. At least I don't.
No.
But,
neither.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, the interest rates, it's the stairs up, the slow, incremental, little bit at a time, and then elevator down. Boom, we're going to be hitting 0% interest here.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point about that previously. The big reason why they had to do what they had to do with the interest rates and why they had to continue to bring them up was because they needed a place to cut to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were, you know, during the pandemic and during all the stuff that was going on with that, economically speaking, and all the money that they were printing and those things that they were doing, I mean, they had even cut the interest rate basically to zero. Like money was free. And so when you were already that close to going negative, because we had talked about that, and now we're, you know, they've got some room to cut, they can. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. Kind of interesting. We'll have to see how it continues to play out. We'll have to see what this holiday season brings. I'm curious what the Thanksgiving's discussions will be about Bitcoin this year, especially because we've already seen like over 100% increase this year, and 100% increase, and it's doing a complete inverse of what the rest of the market's doing. You know, stocks have been down. Everything has been kind of shook by all this stuff that's been going on globally. And Bitcoin,
everything's flat at best.
And Bitcoin is going crazy. It is alive and well right now. Like it's feeling like old times with Bitcoin again.
Now, we kind of called it. I mean, we did that one where we took about a tsunami in 2024, but it looks like the bull run is starting now.
Yeah. Well, and I think it goes back to, I think we had talked about that, where it's like the water's pulling back from the shore right now, right? It's getting ready. It's right. Coming. And so, and something that I thought was interesting too, that I wanted to play this news clip for you. And those of you that maybe don't like the news clips, but I thought this was a very good news clip. And it's a little bit long. It's about 4 minutes and 11 seconds. We'll go through it. And I kind of want to get Rick's take on this, but I think this gal that's being interviewed on Fox Business, her name is Natalie Brunell. She does an amazing job of just kind of surmising of what's going on with the markets and what's going on with Bitcoin. So let me just go ahead and let me play this and let's get your take on this.
You know, as gold tries to get back above 2,000 for the 45,000th time since 1900, I'm just joking a little bit to all my gold bugs. Bitcoin has really been rocking, right? I mean, it cracked 30,000 with ease, above 35 now. And if you really look at the chart close, you wonder if it could get to 47,000. Joining me now, Coin Story Podcast, Stories Podcast host Natalie Brunell. Natalie, I know you don't like to predict how far Bitcoin is going to go near term. I know long term you think it's unstoppable, but I do want your thoughts on just how it's reacted during this really critical time where bonds were getting hammered, stocks were getting hammered, gold was moving sideways, nothing was winning except Bitcoin.
That's right. Well, the Bitcoiners are trying to front run the institutions before that spot Bitcoin ETF gets approved. And I'm certainly one of them. I heard someone in your show recommending that 40% bond portfolio. I will not be following that. I'm going to be investing in Bitcoin because knowing what they're going to have to print, I want to be in a scarce asset and this digital network.
Before we talk about these institutions that are poised to jump in, let's talk about the Gen Zers, right? The article here recently about retirement being overrated, Gen Zers saying as soft savings trend holds. I mean, is this something that's considered a soft savings trend?
I think a lot of people are just foregoing planning for the long term. And we can berate these Gen Zers or we could try to understand them. And the truth is, this is really a symptom of broken money. And I think you would agree that incentives drive outcomes. And when our money is broken and real wages don't keep up with the cost of housing, education, retirement, then what is the incentive to work hard? If you work hard but can't retain the value of that work, then it's really hard to find meaningful purpose. And what do people with no purpose do? They distract themselves with pleasure and experiences. And so what I think these younger generations really lack is economic hope that the future will be better if they work hard. I mean, in the 70s, you could have a one income household purchase a nice home, afford a nice middle class life. And today young people are seeing that even two incomes plus a side hustle doesn't make ends meet. So yeah. I think that's skewing the value system, even the morality. And what young generations really need is Bitcoin. They need to be able to save and plan for the future with a form of money that can't be manipulated. So fix the money, fix the world, Charles.
You know, it's so funny because with the Gen Zers and so forth, they must also be angry. Every day these memes come out, and you just kind of trigger one in my head where the couple bought a house for $61,000, didn't put any repairs into it, sold it for $1.7 million to a hedge fund, and then complain why these younger folks won't work harder. So I was just reminded of that. There's another aspect to this too, though, and the world is on fire. Let's face it. It's probably going to get a whole lot worse. And you say that Bitcoin is the currency of peace. Explain that.
Sure. So with fiat, if people in power want to finance a war, they can just print the money and spend it. But if you can't just make money at the stroke of a key, then you have to ask permission of the citizens to spend their money. And so that would limit the government's ability to fight endless wars. And so I agree with those out there who say that fiat is the currency of war and Bitcoin is the currency of peace, because Bitcoin is about consensus. And with the incentives in Bitcoin, they benefit those who cooperate and play by the rules and put in the work. Bitcoin actually neutralizes greed, because everyone who supports, mines, or buys Bitcoin adds to the overall strength of the network. And so most importantly, instead of projecting this sort of kinetic power and going to war as a sign of strength like America has done for many, many decades, why don't we go back to the value of building a prosperous and robust economy as a sign of strength that serves as an example for other nations and other people to emulate? We used to lead by example, because great economies are what make great nations. And that is what the American dream was built on. And I think we can return to that with Bitcoin.
You know, later on in the show, I'm going to speak with Hadley Heath Manning on whether or not the Republic of America can save democracy itself. Great stuff there, Natalie. Thank you very much. Talk to you again real soon.
So what do you think of what she said?
I can't disagree with her at all. I mean, the first thing that she brought up was the person, I guess, on the segment before was suggesting 40% bonds.
Yeah.
And that just sounds like pure suicide. I mean, we've been saying that for a while.
Yeah.
But when the government cuts rates and they start injecting liquidity into the markets, it's going to be more inflation. And those, I think bonds are going to be, in the first time in history, that's always been the safe investment. Those are going to turn sour very quick.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be really fast, especially when you're buying it at this time, right?
Exactly. And then she's talking about, she also talked about inflation and what people could afford in the middle class in the 1970s versus nowadays. And, you know, they can, a single family income, they can comfortably just buy a house, you know, a decent house. And I was actually watching a video recently with this, it was kind of a millennial girl, but she was talking about her family owned a lake house. Uh-huh. And they bought it in the 70s, and they were both teachers.
Yeah. Impossible now.
Yeah, you'd have to be just like some type of executive in some mega corporation earning that type of wage, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to happen on a teacher's salary, or you have to own your own business, you know.
Yeah, something where you can, yeah, something where you can just rake in the cash, because dual incomes for the teachers, especially in the 70s, like that wouldn't have been a whole lot of money. I mean, it's not a whole lot of money now, but I mean, dual incomes as teachers, there's no way you could really afford a second home unless you inherited it.
Exactly.
Especially one like on the lake.
Yes, it was a beautiful lake house. They both bought it in the 70s. And, you know, and it's kind of like that other story that the news anchor probably brought up, is the people who bought their house for 16 grand and then sold it for 1.7 million. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy. And that's part of the thing with fiat, is it's the inflation is like destructive all around. It kills productivity. It kills morale. It kills, I mean,
yeah,
being a young person nowadays, I mean, what the hell are you going to be working for? You got your full-time job, you got two side hustles, and you're barely making ends meet.
Yeah, I think really the only people that are protected by the inflation right now, especially when it comes to the assets, are the boomers. Because it's taking their home, like they said, you know, they bought it for maybe $60,000, and now it's $1.5 million. Oh, yeah, on paper, they look like they're hecka rich. They've done so well. and they're not going to take away that wealth. So, I mean, they're not going to go, like, they're not going to, I don't know. And I think that's where some of that concern about whether or not, you know, housing market's going to drop. Like, I do believe in some way we'll see a rebound of the housing market. Like, it's going to drop down in some way, shape, or form. But I don't even think they'll let it go that far down, because that otherwise they take away the biggest nest egg of money that's out there for a certain generation of people. And it's not the youth, for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing about that. I think the banks will try and protect the older folk, the boomers.
Yeah.
But there's something else that's happening that's kind of, I think it's beyond any control of anybody. And what that is it looks like the market is starting to, I mean, we've been talking about the interest rates going up, and it's eventually going to kill the housing market.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's finally catching to that point. And then to add to that, boomers, you know, they were able to buy bigger houses back in the day that were, you know, relatively cheap. And now that they've inflated in all sorts of value, a lot of boomers that are retiring and want to downsize are not going to be able to offload their larger houses to a smaller generation with a smaller amount of wealth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's going to put downward pressure on those larger homes that they have going forward. I don't think there's any type of interest rates or financial rigging that you can do, you know, free to undo what's about to happen from the pricing on these houses.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't even think, like, the hedge funds that have been buying up a lot of real estate, I don't even know if they'd want to touch those properties at that point. Because who are they going to sell to other than just keeping it for themselves? Well, unless it's WEF type stuff again, right? You'll own nothing and you'll like it. But
yeah,
very interesting. And then I did like the jab that he had for gold in the beginning, you know, and like we've talked about that on the podcast here before, is that I have nothing against gold. I think the people that are the gold bugs very much have the same ideology that we have within Bitcoin. And I do believe that you should have some gold. I think you should be diversified. But people that do not see the value of Bitcoin, it's just, it's old fashioned thinking, I think, at that point. So,
yeah. Well, and there's one other thing I want to bring up that she mentioned. I think that was very important, was the Bitcoin being the currency of peace.
Yeah.
Whereas fiat, you know, that's kind of the reason that everyone went on to fiat. It was back around World War One. You know, they were ramping up to fight the biggest war ever. And it's a whole lot easier just to take your money off the gold system and then print it willy-nilly. And that's kind of what's been happening now. I mean, we're funding two different war funds right now. I mean, we're not exactly fighting in them, but we're supporting them financially. And it's kind of crazy when you look around and see the institutional rot that's setting in right now. I think Bitcoin really is going to be important in making peace happen, versus, like, if they had to actually tax people for what they were wanting, that becomes a whole lot harder to sell.
Yeah, then you're asking for permission to get it done, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it.
Well, I think we do have, we're still working on newsletter. We're still, you know, asking people to go ahead, sign up, become a part of that with us. If you're looking to do your own self-custody with your own hardware wallet, we do have a couple links, affiliate links on our website that you can get Ledger or an Alipal wallet. And it does help out the channel a little bit. You do give us a little bit of kickback, but you are buying directly from the manufacturer. I do want to reiterate that, but that's pretty much all I had. So,
yep. Look for those newsletters to start popping this weekend.
Cool. Cool. I'm looking forward to it too. And then hopefully we'll have some t-shirts and stuff coming up here pretty soon. So thank y'all for listening.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.